Vice President Lenny Robredo calls on Filipinos to fight efforts to revise history on the anniversary of the declaration of martial law. The Philippines' new COVID-19 alert level system could be implemented in more areas soon. And the province of Batanes placed under the strictest lockdown due to a surge in COVID-19 cases. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We're now about to show you live pictures from Quezon City, where a convoy of vehicles filled with protesters are making their way to Liwasang Bonifacio in Manila to mark the 49th year since the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law. It's one of the darkest phases in the nation's history. The 14-year martial rule was marred with tortures, killings, forced disappearances, and economic collapse. Democracy was at its lowest, with freedom of the press and of expression stifled. It led to the first closure of the country's biggest broadcasting network, ABS-CBN, the parent firm of this news channel. Human rights groups vow to remember those dark days. They have lined up several activities to commemorate the occasion. They will also condemn what they say is the continuing repression under the current administration. A human rights group will mark the martial law anniversary with a protest aimed at the 2022 election bids of President Rodrigo Duterte and the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos's son, former Senator Bongbong Marcos. We have our correspondent now, Jackie Manabat, with more details. Jackie, what else can you tell us?
Carmina, around 100 members of the Police Station 2 and District Mobile Force Battalion are here at the Welcome Rotunda in Quezon City as they're waiting for the approach of various groups who are expected to converge here at the Welcome Rotunda. This is a part of a string of protests today, scheduled today for the 49th anniversary of the Declaration of Martial Law. The groups include those that represent the health sector, the religious sector, and the youth, and some martial law victims are also expected to join the protest today. But unlike last year, participants are expected to be lesser this year because of the high number of COVID-19 cases in the country. And as of this time, according to the organizers, around 50 joined the physical protest, and some of them decided to join the protest streamed online via the group's Facebook official pages. The rallyists will be wearing black shirts, and they also said that all of them will be wearing masks and face shields. The banners of the rally, yes, they contain the group's disdain of the possible Duterte Marcos or the Marcos Duterte tandem in the upcoming elections in the 2022, saying it could mean a repeat of what happened in the martial law years. The group are also calling to end Duterte's reign during the martial law anniversary, as they liken him to former dictator and late President Ferdinand Marcos in terms of human rights violation and corruption, among others. And the group will be converging here, or also expected to converge at Liwasang Bonifacio in Manila at 4 p.m. today for the proper protest program. As of now, 10 vehicles of the protesters are expected to arrive here at Welcome Rotunda here in Quezon City. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Our correspondent Jackie Manabat there joining us live from Quezon City. Take care, Jackie, and you keep safe. And from there, let's now dive deep into some of the numbers during those dark pages in Philippine history. According to the group Task Force Detainees of the Philippines, there were at least 9,000 victims of human rights violations from the years 1969 to 1986. The number of victims increased almost every year, reaching a peak in the 2 years preceding the EDSA People Power. 8 in 10 victims were males, mostly aged 16 to 40 years old, while female victims belonged to the younger age group, 16 to 30 years old. During martial rule alone, over 5,000 people were arrested or detained, with over 1,200 salvaged or apprehended and executed without trial. Vice President Lenny Robredo urges Filipinos to fight against efforts to whitewash the atrocities committed during martial law. She warns money and power would dictate history if the public will choose to remain silent about what really happened.
Kasama ninyo ako sa pagpalag, sa pagbantay, at sa paggiit. Pilipino ang susulat ng kwento ng Pilipino. Kailangan nating ulit-ulitin sa bawat pagkakataon ang katotohanan. Sa ilalim ng rehimeng Marcos, nagdusa ang Pilipino. Ninakawan, tinorture at pinaslang. Ginamit ang ngalan para ibaon ang bansa sa utang at pagbabayaran ng utang na ito hanggang sa mga susunod pang henerasyon. Diktador si Marcos. At hindi niya napagbayaran ng husto ang krimen niya. Katunayan, patuloy ang pagpapakasasa ng kanyang angkan sa kayamanang ninakaw niya mula sa atin.
A Filipino historian believes one of the reasons why fake news surrounding the martial law years persist is because the Marcoses themselves have been able to stay in power. Chow Chua, head of De La Salle University History Department, says this can serve as a reminder to the public amid the possibility the late dictator's son, former Senator Bongbong Marcos, will again seek a national position next year.
Because they cannot escape their father, although they wanted to really stand on their own achievements, they cannot escape the legacy of their father, and that's why they have to cleanse the memory of their father, which is sad because they should have just acknowledged that there were bad things that happened during his administration. If they do not acknowledge and do not learn from the lessons of history, the things that their fathers have done or their mothers have done, then what do you expect? What are they going to perpetuate when they come to power?
The years under martial rule were the golden years for the Marcos family, but not the Filipino people. Human rights lawyer, attorney Shel Diokno, frowns at fresh attempts at historical revisionism. He says there were already videos surfacing during the early 2000s aimed at distorting the youth's perception on martial law. He adds there were not enough efforts from schools to educate young people. And now Diokno has this piece of advice for voters in the 2022 elections.
I just want to share something I learned from my father. He said, if we really want to build a just and humane Philippines, we need to have a national consciousness and a national conscience. At sana sa darating na taon na mabibigyan tayong lahat ng pagkakataon na pumili ng susunod na liderato, ay pumili naman tayo ng mga kandidatong may national consciousness at lalo na may national conscience.
The opposition coalition Isambayan and now building its senatorial slate, Isambayan convener Eta Rosales reveals among those being considered are human rights lawyers Shel Diokno and Neri Colmenares, as well as Senator Risa Ontiveros. Rosales adds, House lawmaker Lauren Legarda has also expressed openness to talk with the opposition. Diokno, meanwhile, says he is willing to run under Isambayan's slate, but he is also open to run under other presidential candidates.
Sana nga magsama-sama ang opposition kasi ang tingin ko tataas talaga ang chance natin na makapanalo tayo kung unified ang ating opposition.
Would you be willing if you are invited by the likes, let's say, of Manila Mayor Isko Moreno or Senator Manny Pacquiao to be in their slate if you are adopted?
Definitely. I would be very open to that as a guest candidate. Yeah.
The Philippine Senate threatens to cut the budget of the Commission on Elections for 2022. That says the poll body maintains it will not extend the voter registration period. That's despite pleas from the public. Senate Minority Leader Franklin Drilon proposed the idea during Monday's hearing and was backed by other senators.
Would the Senate consider urging the subcommittee handling the COMELEC budget to call the COMELEC to a hearing this week and express this need to extend the registration under pain of their budget being slashed to the barest minimum. That's part of the check and balance. If they refuse to exercise a discretion which is consistent with public interest.
Aside from a possible budget cut, Drilon also floated the idea of passing a bill that would impose an extension on voter registration. Both chambers of Congress had already approved a resolution urging the poll commission to move the deadline until the end of October. The Philippines logged nearly 19,000 new COVID-19 cases Monday. It's the lowest figure in the past 5 days. But the health department says the country has yet to see a peak in infections. That's as the Delta variant becomes the dominant strain in the country. Batanes placed under the strictest lockdown classification as it deals with its first ever community transmission of COVID-19. The enhanced community quarantine will be in effect for 2 weeks or until October 4. The provincial government has also canceled all inbound passenger flights until further notice. Quarantine and isolation facilities in the province have already reached full capacity. Batanes recorded 100 new infections Monday. More areas in the Philippines may be placed under the new COVID-19 alert system being pilot tested in Metro Manila. Interior Secretary Eduardo Año says the country's pandemic task force will recommend whether to expand the implementation of the alert system by next week. Officials of some provinces and cities outside Metro Manila with high COVID-19 cases have sought the new quarantine system. Metro Manila is currently under alert level 4, the second strictest lockdown level. The Philippines receives over 561,000 more doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. It's the latest donation from the WHO's COVAX facility.
By the end of October, we will reach more or less 100 million doses delivery to the Philippines. We have now a steadier supply of Sinovac, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and then Moderna and COVAX. We are now renegotiating with the Russian Direct Investment Fund for this Sputnik line.
Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration says local production of vaccines could start as early as next year.
Ang plano po natin by next year, magkaroon po tayo at least yung tinatawag po nating fill and finish, meaning dadalhin po sa Pilipinas yung bulk product, tapos dito na po natin i-repackage doon po sa maliliit na vials, ampules, or mga syringes. So ito po yung nauna nating plano na pinatarget po for next year. And then after that po, the year after that, yun na pong manufacturing ng mas maraming ibang klase pong bakuna.
Some 18.5 million Filipinos have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. This makes up 24% of the government's year-end target. Pfizer and BioNTech declare their COVID-19 vaccine safe for kids aged 5 to 11 if given at a lower dose. This report gives us more details.
Welcome news for anxious parents eager to have their kids vaccinated against COVID-19. Pfizer and BioNTech said Monday that a lower dose of their COVID-19 vaccine induces a robust immune response in 5 to 11-year-olds, and they plan to ask for authorization from the FDA and other regulators as soon as possible. Clinical trials showed the Pfizer vaccine was well-tolerated and generated an immune response in 5 to 11-year-olds as it had in the older age range. The dose for younger kids was one-third the size. The company said the safety profile was also generally comparable. Top U.S. health officials believe regulators could make a decision on whether a lower dose shot is safe and effective for this age group within 3 weeks of the company submitting a request for authorization, according to sources. A rapid authorization in the U.S. could help stem a potential surge of coronavirus cases in the fall, with schools open across the country. Pediatric cases have risen sharply in recent months, as have hospitalizations due to the highly contagious Delta variant.
India is set to resume exports of COVID-19 vaccines after stopping shipments during the height of its COVID-19 surge. It will prioritize doses for the vaccine-sharing platform COVAX and neighboring countries. India says the country's monthly vaccine output has more than doubled since it halted exports in April. It is set to quadruple to over 300 million doses next month and could top 1 billion in the last 3 months of the year. For the vaccinated, the U.S. in November will lift travel restrictions for fully vaccinated visitors from China, India, Britain, and several other European countries. But there are exceptions. Children do not have to comply, since most are still not eligible to get vaccinated yet. The new rules also don't apply to travelers crossing land borders with Mexico and Canada. The White House says it's up to federal authorities to decide if only those who received U.S.-approved shots will be permitted. We'll take a break now. Up ahead, the back and forth between President Duterte and Senate Blue Ribbon Committee Chairman Richard Gordon. Well, that continues. Details when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Vice President Leni Robredo calls on Filipinos to fight efforts to revise history on the anniversary of the Declaration of Martial Law. The Philippines' new COVID-19 alert level system could be implemented in more areas soon. And the province of Batanes placed under the strictest lockdown due to a surge in COVID-19 cases. Back with more news, the Philippines sees an improvement in deployment of figures of Filipino workers overseas compared to last year amid this pandemic. Philippine Overseas Employment Administrator Bernard Olalia says the country is now deploying around 30,000 land-based and 40,000 sea-based Filipino workers each month.
On a month-to-month basis, makikita po natin yung malaking pag-anga ng ating deployment po ngayon. No? Kung meron po tayong halos 74% na ibinaba sa deployment last year, ngayon po ay unti-unti na siyang umaangat.
The Philippine economy is said to be losing at least 41 trillion pesos due to the health crisis. And as Warren de Guzman tells us, a sizable chunk of these losses is expected to be felt by students who've had to take classes online.
The recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic will take years, decades even, and it will cost over 41 trillion pesos based on the latest estimates of the National Economic and Development Authority. Consumption, a key driver of the Philippine economy, suffered an over 2 trillion peso hit in 2020, and NEDA expects a 2.4 trillion peso hit over the next 10 years. NEDA estimates that hit will discourage future investment, and the Philippines will likely miss out on over 19 trillion pesos in funds over the next decade. Tourism will be a big casualty, and many hotels and resorts have resigned themselves to focusing on domestic travel or operating as quarantine centers in the short term. For tourism officials, it is hard to say when the sector can fully recover, but they are working with what they have.
We are trying to copy the Phuket model because everybody in Phuket, well, at least 80% is vaccinated in Phuket. That's why what we're doing is we want to also vaccinate also our tourism workers here. Kami naman, as I've said, we're always trying to lessen quarantine days or ano. But I believe in the whole of Asia, it's only Phuket that has no quarantine.
Students forced into online and other distance learning schemes will be big losers as well. Over the next 40 years, or the duration of their working lives, they are expected to miss out on nearly 10.8 trillion pesos in productivity and future wages after the Philippines held zero face-to-face classes for a full year. NEDA notes studies have shown online learning and modular learning are nowhere near as effective as face-to-face. Education Secretary Leonor Briones, however, says they are now moving forward with plans for face-to-face classes in pilot areas. However, she stressed these would still depend on the alert levels across the Philippines.
Definitely, hindi kami magpadala ng pilot sa ECQ. And we will think twice even about MECQ. Ang pipiliin naman talaga, very clear ang Presidente, yung pinaka-low risk na... Pero kung kailangan, mayroon naman tayong hazard pay na binibigay.
All in all, the losses over the next 10 to 40 years could reach over 41 trillion pesos. The palace says this is more reason to push forward with faster vaccination and a return to face-to-face classes. Warren De Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
On Monday, the Philippine government allowed the dry run of limited face-to-face classes, more than a year since the pandemic forced schools to resort to online classes. But for the Teachers Dignity Coalition, the conduct of in-person classes is untimely and risky. Joining us now is Olivia De Guzman. She's National Vice Chairperson of the Teachers Dignity Coalition. Olivia, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. Magandang hapon po.
Magandang hapon po, Ms. Carmina. Magandang hapon po sa lahat.
Okay. Unang-una, nakonsulta ho ba kayo dito sa plano na magkaroon ng in-person, face-to-face classes?
Ang natatandaan ko kasi, Ms. Carmina, lahat ng mga ibinababa ng DepEd, ng mga gusto niyang ipagawa sa mga teachers at sa mga guro, walang consultation sa ibaba. Marahil sila lang sa taas ang nag-uusap dito, no? At ibinababa na lang ito sa amin bilang mga teacher.
Mm-mm. Ang sinasabi ni Secretary Briones, we were able to hear a portion of her statement right there, na hindi naman daw ipapatupad itong face-to-face classes sa mga high-risk areas. She's even gonna think about it kung MECQ yan. This is only going to be implemented in low-risk areas, areas which are deemed low-risk. But you're still not amenable to this. Why is that?
Yes, kasi alam natin na araw-araw napakarami ng mga na itatala na COVID-19 patients, no. Masyado siyang malaki, 20,000 a day almost, no, so mga nakakaraang araw. This is too risky for us teachers. Kahit na nga sabihin pa natin na ito ay doon sa low risk areas, but still meron pa ring pandemic. Nandun pa rin ang takot, no, nandun pa rin yung sakit na kumamabilis kumalat, nandun pa rin yung pag-aalala sa kaligtasan ng mga teacher. Kahit na nga ang sabi niya, volunteer naman, volunteerism, no? Hindi sa pilitan, no? Pero nandun pa rin ang risk kahit saan natin ito tingnan. Alam natin na isang taon at kalahati na ang pandemic, pero nakikita natin na kahit sa mga lockdown na ginagawa ng ating government, hindi napapababa ang kaso sa araw-araw, lalo na ngayon, no, mas mataas siya.
Yung sinabi rin ni Secretary Briones, magkakaroon naman daw po ng hazard pay.
Yeah, ang hazard pay actually binigay din nila doon sa mga yung AWA, ano, yung alternative work arrangement na ginawa ng DepEd noon, no. That's 500 pesos a day doon sa mga mag-volunteer. So that's very small amount of money. Tingin ba nila yun ay sapat kung ang guro o mga bata ay makakuha ng sakit dahil sa face-to-face na ito?
But you know what experts are saying as well, Ms. Olivia, this is not just affecting our learners right here, right now. People are calling this already the lost years in the education of the Filipino children. And this could very well be felt later on in terms of their productivity. And this is all because of the absence of face-to-face classes. So mula sa pangamba, and rightly so, because as you said, there is still this pandemic that's raging. When you put that there into the equation, together with the lost productivity of these learners in the future, or when they're expected to be productive citizens already of this nation, what can be the middle ground here?
Naniniwala kami dyan. We strongly believe na talagang bumaba ang kalidad ng edukasyon itong nakaraan dahil nga sa hindi face-to-face ang paraan ng pag-aaral. Dahil naniniwala din naman talaga kami na ang pinaka-effective na paraan to transfer learning ay face-to-face. Pero mas higit dito sa kaalaman na ito ay ang buhay, no? Dapat maprotektahan natin muna ang buhay at kalusugan ng ating mga mag-aaral at ng mga guro at ng mga mamamayan. Kasi kasama naman dito yung mga magulang. Siyempre, ihahatid nila yung mga anak nila. So, sa aking palagay, no, sa aming tingin, makakapaghintay naman ang mga ilang bagay, pero ang buhay at ang kalusugan at ang buhay ay mas dapat bigyan ng prioridad. Maliban kung may mga plano nga sila na mapoprotektahan nila ang kalusugan ng mag-aaral at ng mga guro.
Pero so far, bukas ba sila sa inyo tungkol sa mga planong ito? Because, you know, if there's communication with the DepEd to the teachers about concrete plans to safeguard not just your health but also of the learners' well-being, siguro mas magiging bukas din kayo sa ganitong klaseng mga plano ng
Yes, yun ang... Yun ang nakakalungkot, Miss Carmina, no? Kasi nung nakaraan pa, yung AWA nga, no? Alternative Work Arrangement, marami na nga dyan ang lumabag, no? Sa Department of Education. Na kahit na meron ng AWA na dapat ipatupad, ay ang mga guro ay pinapapunta pa rin at pinapapasok pa rin sa mga paaralan. Na nag-result nga na napakaraming mga guro ang nagkasakit, nahawa, ang malungkot, may mga namatay pa. So, sa ganong kalagayan nung nakaraan, wala naman silang ibinaba na mga dapat gawin, mga pagbabago. Well, hindi pa nila kinakausap ang mga teachers kung paano ba ang proseso on how to do this face-to-face.
Mm-mm. Well, we're gearing up for another school year. Yung unang school year, medyo sabihin na natin pwedeng i-excuse, no? Yung mga unang buwan, no? Because you're all just trying to adjust to yes. The pandemic and how it has affected and upended lives. Pero itong papasok na panibagong school year, may nakita ba kayo na pagkakaiba in terms of yung mga patakaran, yung mga gagawin, yung funding din siguro, no? Kung paano mas magiging mabuti ito both for the learners and the teachers. Meron ho bang pagkakaiba mula last school year to this school year?
Umaasa kami sana na maraming pagbabago for improvement ng mga lapses ng mga nakaraan. Pero yung mga pangunahing pangangailangan ng mga teachers na dapat sana i-provide nila yung mga tools like laptops and connectivity, hanggang sa ngayon hindi naman nila ito na ibibigay. May nag-release ng balita ang DepEd na 90% plus na ang nabibigyan nila ng laptop ng mga teachers. I don't think that's true. No, ako nga personally wala. Sa school namin wala. Dito sa amin, sa division namin, kakaunti, iilan lang. So, yun yung una eh. Pangalawa, yung mga bata, yung mga estudyante. Alam naman natin na karamihan sa mga estudyante sa public schools ay kapos. No? Maraming kakulangan. Hindi nila kayang mag-provide ng cellphone man lang, karamihan sa kanila. So, ngayon ganun pa rin. No? Noon kulang ang modules, ngayon ganun pa rin. So, sa nakikita namin, parehong problema ang kakaharapin ng mga teachers ngayong school year.
Bakit ba may disconnect? Paki-explain po sa amin, paki-paliwanag. Kasi pagkakausapin mo yung DepEd, everything seems to be okay. Marami silang mga figures na ibinibigay. Katulad nga nung sinabi nyo, meron ng naipamahagi ng mga tools, no? Pero kakasabi nyo lang din, hindi totoo. So, nasaan ang katotohanan sa pagitan ng kung ano yung sinasabi ninyo at kung ano naman sinasabi ng DepEd?
Yeah. Sa tools na pinamimigay, maaaring totoo sa isang banda, pero yung porsyento kung gaano na ito karami, ay yun ang medyo hindi namin nararamdaman. No? Maaaring iilan. No? Bakit may disconnect? Hindi namin alam. We are really reaching out, no, to for us to be able to talk to them at maibigay namin sa kanila yung mga hinaing ng mga teachers sa ibaba. Ang importante kasi yung nasa ibaba. Mm-hmm. Kasi we feel they need to listen to us. Kasi kami yung frontliners dito eh. At alam namin yung totoong nangyayari sa ibaba. Mm-hmm. Pero yun nga, disconnected. Ayaw nilang makinig sa amin. Nakakalungkot lang din.
Well, nabanggit nyo na rin, Ms. Olivia, that you are essentially frontliners. May I know how many of our teachers have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated?
May hindi pa naglalabas ang DepEd kung ilan talaga, no? Pero meron silang mga kinukuha nila sa bawat division kung ilan na ang nabakunahan. Good, dito sa division namin, naglaan sila ng isang araw para sa mga teachers. Mm-hmm. For teachers alone. Pero we still don't know kung parehong nangyayari sa ibang mga lugar. Mas marami, sa school namin alone, parang 93% na kami na nabakunahan. We still don't know sa mga far-flung areas. Wala pa namang nilabas ang DepEd as to how many na.
Mm-hmm. Masasabi niyo ba na mabilis ang pag-roll out ng vaccination sa mga sa hanay po ninyo?
Maaari kasi binigyang prioridad, no? Nakakatuwa rin naman dahil may ganung aksyon. Pero ang isa pang concern namin dito ay yung mga mag-aaral, no? Kung itutuloy nila yung face to face, eh wala pa namang vaccine para sa mga bata na available. So parehas din kung vaccinated man ang teachers, eh ang ang estudyante naman ay hindi. So, ganun pa rin, nakakatakot pa rin, risky pa rin.
Mm-mm. All right. As you know, Ms. Olivia, we're also looking back. Itong araw na ito, ginugunita, no, yung declaration of martial law. You know, a lot of people have been saying that through the years, there's been a creeping attempt to really revise history, to whitewash the atrocities committed during those dark days of our history. Pero meron din nagsasabi, nangyayari yan kasi nagkaroon ng puwang. At isa dun sa mga puwang na yun ay dahil sa hindi ito talagang naituro sa ating mga mag-aaral. What can you say about that? Nagkaroon ho ba ng pagkukulang?
Nakakalungkot isipin kasi ako ay isa din sa mga nandun sa EDSA nung panahon na yun. Ano? At alam, nasubaybayan ko rin ang totoong kasaysayan. No? Hindi ito pwedeng itago at hindi ito pwedeng pabulaanan. Siguro ang kakulangan dahil ang mga kabataan ngayon ay masyado na silang hook na magba-browse na lang sila sa internet, no, at hindi na sila nagbabasa pa, no, ng mga libro kung saan nakasulat yung totoong kasaysayan, at basta na lang sila naniniwala sa mga fake news or satire news, no, na nababasa nila sa Facebook. Maaari bilang isang guro, masasabi ko na maaaring nagkaroon ng pagkukulang ang kagawaran, no, para ito ay maituro ng tama, masabi ang tunay na nangyari at ang tunay na kasaysayan para hindi mabaling, ma-divert sa iba, no, at mapapaniwala natin, lalong-lalo na ang ating mga kabataan na malayo doon sa katotohanan.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Olivia S. de Guzman, National Vice Chairperson of the group Teachers Dignity Coalition. Maraming salamat po. Continue to take care and you keep safe.
Thank you, Ms. Kyle.
Right, we're going to move on to more news now. Senator Richard Gordon dares President Rodrigo Duterte to start defending the Filipino people as a word war between the two heats up. See, during today's resumption of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee's hearing into government's pandemic spending, Gordon criticized Duterte for favoring Chinese companies over Filipino firms.
Attorney Duterte is lawyering for his people, the Chinese, and I ask him respectfully, start lawyering for the Filipino people. Do your job, Mr. President. Why do you spend your time lambasting us? Why do you not take time to find out why your people that you appointed, like Mr. Lau, supported by Mr. Warren Leong, how did they manage to get $8.7 billion all by their lonesome, as well as another the rest of the balance of the 42 billion that has been given, most especially to Farmali. Quite frankly, Mr. President, you are boring. Di ako natatakot sa inyo. Hindi po ako duwag. Do your worst, Mr. President, as you did with ABS-CBN.
In his public address Monday, President Duterte again insisted on having the audit commission look into the finances of the Philippine Red Cross, which Senator Gordon heads. Duterte accused Gordon of parking priority development assistance funds and mixing it with the organization's finances.
Kung totoo ito, you must answer it because I am really going to insist that COA conduct an audit sa Red Cross. You cannot escape that constitutional mandate. As a matter of fact, the mandate that you get to give me a yearly report, hindi mo binigay. Doon ko pa sana nalaman. Government is left empty-handed. Paano, sige kahabol ng tao na korap, paano ka namin habulin ngayon? Eh, corrupt ka rin eh.
Mali naman po yung ginagawa niyo, Mr. President. Huwag niyo naman kaming ganyanin. Sapagkat kahit na may bagyo at the height of the pandemic, sa Roli po, gumagawa kami ng bahay sa mga tiga Bicol. Nakagawa ba ang gobyerno ng bahay sa Bicol? Hindi naman yung kami tinutukan ng baril sa ulo para gumawa ng bahay sa Bicol.
Over at the House of Representatives, lawmakers allied with President Duterte seemingly take up the cudgels for personalities involved in the pandemic supply deals. They also took aim at the Senate over its own probe into the controversy. Former government officials and executives from formerly claimed senators have been treating them unfairly during hearings.
I'm asked to tell the truth. However, when we are going to the point of truth, we are being obstructed.
Kung pinakinggan kayo ng Senado, dapat hindi na tayo napunta sa ganitong pag-uusap. Because 11469, Bayanihan 1, precisely, is about taking all these measures as soon as possible. Because the law projected and anticipated the need of our people.
I tried, Mr. Chair. I think that when I was answering it, I was threatened to be cited in contempt, Mr. Chairman.
During Monday's House inquiry, former presidential advisor Michael Yang denied funding formally. This runs contrary to what one of the company's officials previously told the Senate.
Formally, Executive Lincoln Ong has stated on the record that you acted as guarantor in their supply agreement with the government. Is this true?
When they approached him, di ba, when they already got the order na malaki daw, they approached Mr. In terms of referral ng mga suppliers, so which he did. And then eventually, Lincoln expressed that they do not have the financial capability. Kaya po si Mr. Yan nagpakilala ng mga friends who could support them in terms of their finances. So in terms of that, parang si Mr. Yan yung naging referral sa mga friends niya papunta kay Lincoln.
So hindi niya pera yung ginamit?
Hindi po pera niya, but rather yung mga pinakilala po niyang mga kaibigan.
And we'll take another break now. Still ahead, the family of Filipino artist Bree Johnson suspects foul play in her death. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Stay with us. With more news, the family of renowned artist Bree Johnson suspects foul play in her death. The 30-year-old Johnson was found lifeless in a resort in La Union last Saturday. With her at that time was her boyfriend, Julian Ongpin, son of business tycoon Bobby Ongpin. Illegal drugs were recovered in their room. Philippine Police Chief Guillermo Eleazar has ordered an in-depth probe on Johnson's death. Charges have also been filed against Ongpin, who tested positive for drug use. The provincial prosecutor, however, decided to have him released while the investigation is ongoing.
Asking for an immigration lookout bulletin order
because of Julian Ongpin's possible involvement in the death of my daughter. From that picture alone, makita mo talaga yung may mark si Brianna dito sa leeg na mahaba. Dalawa. Tapos merong parang pulang parang pressure dito sa gitna. Pinapalabas nila, sinagsi-circulate sa media, sa social media, is that nag-OD ang anak ko or nag-suicide ang anak ko. So hindi eh. And iba-iba yung lumabas na naging testimony ni Julian din. Ang una ang sabi, nakita daw niya, nagkulong daw sa banyo yung anak ko and she hanged herself. Tapos ngayon, nung lumabas kahapon, nakita siya on the bed, lifeless.
World News Now, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau poised to win a third term, fending off a stiff challenge from his Conservative rival. But Trudeau fell short of regaining the majority in Parliament. So far, Trudeau's Liberal Party leads with 155 electoral districts. Canada's House of Commons holds 338 seats. The party needs to win the majority. Polls reported results slower than usual, with some stations forced to limit occupancy due to COVID-19 restrictions. A delay in counting mail-in votes could further hold up results in tight races. Heading now to New York for the upcoming United Nations General Assembly. U.S. President Joe Biden met with U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres ahead of his speech at the high-level meet. The two discussed the importance of the U.N. in solving major problems the world is facing. Their meeting comes after a chaotic exit from Afghanistan and a submarine deal.
And the Secretary General and I share a strong commitment to the principles of human freedom and human dignity on which the UN was founded. Every UN member state likewise has an obligation to uphold those fundamental commitments and that we've all made. And normally the task is already ahead for each one of us, and it's real. But the vision of the United Nations has never been short in ambition, any more than our Constitution. But the ambition matters. Today, governments must continue to work together in a system built on international law to deliver equitable prosperity, peace, and security for everyone.
As for the Philippines, President Rodrigo Duterte will participate in the high-level meet with a speech early Wednesday morning, Manila time. In business, several of the Philippines' biggest foreign and local business groups back the Senate's proposed amendments to the Public Service Act. Under the current law, transportation and telecommunications are regarded as public utilities, and companies that offer these services must be 60% owned by Filipinos. Foreign ownership in these industries is limited to 40%. But the Joint Foreign Chambers asserts opening up these sectors will be good for both the business community and consumers. It also noted there are safeguards put in place by senators to protect national security while attracting more foreign investments. In sports, the Southeast Asian Games Federation has given Vietnam until October to decide whether it will push through with the event in 2022 or scrap the games altogether. The SEA Games were originally scheduled for December, but were postponed due to the pandemic. Philippine Olympic Committee President Abraham Bambol Tolentino believes if the games push through, they may likely be held in May next year. And before we go, K-pop group BTS gets permission to dance at the United Nations General Assembly. The group filmed a music video of their latest hit song at the UN headquarters over the weekend. Boy band accompanied South Korean President Moon Jae-in to the UN conference in New York to represent the youth at the UN Sustainable Development Goals moment of the Decade Action Meeting. There, they called for climate action, ways to address poverty, inequality, and injustice in the world. That'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines Podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC247 on Facebook. We now bring you back the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee hearing into government's pandemic spending. Senator Rizzo Ontiveros now grilling Health Secretary Francisco Duque III.